We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome back to another edition of the Field of 68. Kind of a quick reaction after last night, when we're recording this, last night, Indiana's loss to Nebraska, an ugly performance in Lincoln. And we're going to overview and overlook the Big Ten a little bit as a whole and what we've seen so far. The first few games of conference play, Ben Haller, as always, alongside the great Austin Platt, to break this interesting start of 2024 down with you.
Yeah, it was a pretty ugly one, Ben. Happy New Year to you and the rest of the fans out there. This is not the episode of the House of Hoosiers we wanted to record and start the new year off. A pretty pathetic loss, really bad to a Nebraska team, which sure is much improved. This is not the Fred Hoiberg of the past. This is a much improved Cornhuskers squad, but the way they lost, and they were just not ready to win a Big Ten game on the road. And at this point in the year, at this point in Mike Woodson's tenure, that's unacceptable. And sure, you get Xavier Johnson back, but he gave you basically nothing. And the team really just didn't show up. And sure, there were a couple times in the second half you thought maybe they pulled back, but defensively just could not stop Keisei Tominaga and that three-point shooting of his, and really the rest of the team as well. And Nebraska gets a pretty big win to start 2024.
I mean, yeah, you don't need to have to watch the whole game to figure out one of the biggest issues, especially offensively, was turnovers. 19 total turnovers, gave Nebraska a lot of points off the break, a lot of fast break points for Nebraska. That's something that we've seen Indiana kind of improve on throughout the season has gone on. But then again, you know, it's not the start of Big Ten play necessarily, because you had the Michigan game, you had the Maryland game. But once you get that little break where you're playing some bye games, sometimes it can kind of be a wake-up call when you get to that Big Ten play. And it's only their second true road game of the season. And turnovers were really an issue, though.
That was the biggest thing. Indiana on the road, we've seen over the last few years, they turned the ball over like they did 19 turnovers. Your best three players, supposedly, Xavier Johnson, Cleo Ware, and Malik Renew, each had four turnovers. And in the first half, the problem is, I think, with this game, Nebraska set a blueprint for how you beat Indiana, especially when Indiana has the ball in their half-court set. And it's basically double the post and front Khalil Ware if you can. And they tried bouncing the ball and throwing it inside. It just didn't work. And there were a few alley-oops. And the second half is how Ware, who, you know, it clearly wasn't 100%. That illness has clearly been lingering with him, but 20 points in 34 minutes, he was as good as he could be. But other than that, Nebraska just did a fantastic job defensively. And Indiana, who shot the ball well from three, just didn't shoot enough three-pointers in this game. Even in the second half, they took a bunch of garbage time threes that a lot of them went in, but it didn't make a difference. And just overall, Indiana outcoached in this game, and a terrible start to the new year.
Yeah, you'd be talking about the turnovers. There wasn't anyone in particular that you could point to and say, well, he had a ton. I mean, Xavier Johnson came in, really didn't play as much as we're used to because he's coming off that injury, but he had four. Trey Galloway, I believe, had three. A lot of the guards, the ones handling the ball, who you'd expect to have those turnovers, did. And you mentioned Ware and how well he played offensively. Other than that, it's hard to find a bright spot individually for Indiana. The bench regressed. We've seen the bench get a lot better with Caleb Banks and CJ Gunn, especially starting to play better. But just a rough game for the bench, too.
Yeah, really nobody wanted to show up. And this whole, you know, start the new year with a bad loss has kind of continued now for a few years, and especially a game like this where Indiana is not 16 points worse than Nebraska, even in a road game. So I think this is the concerning part. It's the way Indiana loses these games. They haven't won many games this year convincingly, but they've lost all four of their losses now this year have been, you know, other than the one to Kansas, which they should have won, but they've been just bad losses as a whole, and this team just has not shown up with the readiness to win mentally and physically, and we saw that last night. And give credit to Nebraska. This is a team that could very well make the tournament. I don't think many people said that going into this year.
They got to figure it out soon, because while the schedule, it doesn't get a ton more difficult in the next week or so, there's still a lot of losable games. That's what's going to happen when you're in Big Ten, especially when you start to go on the road. You got Ohio State on Saturday. You got a road game against Rutgers on Tuesday. Then the following Friday, you come back to host Minnesota before that Purdue game. What's an area in particular? You know, for me, I think the three-point shooting has been a lot better for Indiana, and the turnovers are going to come and go. But defensively, guarding the three-point line recently has been an issue for me. We saw it a little bit against Morehead State, and then Morehead State just went cold at the end of that game. But you allow Keisei Tominaga to get 28 points. C.J. Wilcher for Nebraska got hot pretty early in the game, hit three threes. Guarding the three-point line has been an issue for me, and something I look for. I really think that's what they're going to need to improve on.
Yeah, the help defense, there are just too many times this year where Indiana has overhelped at times in the post. And, you know, you're going to have Renew, who I get it defensively, can be a liability, but he has to be out there, number one. I hate how Mike Woodson always, you know, you get two fouls, you're done for the half. That can't happen in a Big Ten road atmosphere like that. You can't allow one of your two best post players or even Xavier Johnson, or, you know, it was the case for McKenzie Mbako, two early fouls and you sit the rest of the half. That can't happen. But going back to the defensive issues, just too much overhelping. You have to trust the guys in the lane to give you some help on defense. And sure, if you give up an open layup, that's fine. But that, I mean, sure, but an open three is something that maybe is worse, considering Indiana's, you know, lack of their three-point shooting, just volume-wise, percentage-wise, it's been much better. And that's the reason why people are calling on Mike Woodson to kind of change. He's way too stubborn with the way he's been. He won't shoot the three. He just kind of nails it down that you have to shoot the two. You take a good two, or a great-looking good two instead of a good-looking three or something like that. So just the way Indiana has gone about offensively worries me going forward, that teams kind of now – I just worry about the way they lost this game. Every Big Ten team now has this video, and this is the blueprint that everyone can put up and say, this is how you beat Indiana. And regardless of Xavier Johnson, whether he gets any better or healthier, same with Khalil Ware. Khalil wasn't 100%. You could tell by the way he kind of, you know, nearly airballed a couple of those free throws. That guy was tired, and that was a physical game, especially with the rebounding. But just little things that you just can't afford to do halfway through your season. And now with Big Ten play officially ramping up again, it's not acceptable, and things really need to change, because when your guards play the way they did, you're not going to win many games. And, you know, we've seen in the past, Ben, this team sometimes at times, not overall, but at times can be better without Xavier Johnson. If he wasn't 100%, I don't know why he's playing in a game like this. This team is talented enough. We've seen them win games without Xavier Johnson. They were without him, what, for seven games? They beat Michigan on the road without him in a Big Ten environment that really, you know, fans-wise wasn't that much different than what we saw last night. But if Xavier Johnson isn't fully healthy, we saw last year Hood Schifino blossom into a great player because of Xavier Johnson's absence. I'm still not going to sit here and say Xavier Johnson, the team is better without him in the long term. There's silly fans that are stupid and will still say that. But in some games, Indiana is better without him. And in this case, the 15 minutes where he's on the floor, two rebounds, three fouls, four turnovers, three assists, and no points, taking just three shots. I mean, what is he doing out there?
Yeah, I think it's tough, because I think at some point you got to start to ease him back into it a little bit. You know, you got big games coming up. You got winnable games coming up. So you'd hope to have him 100%, especially before that Purdue game. And I don't know if that happens if he's not playing in real game situations. But for the most part, I agree. The four turnovers is what really stuck out to me, because as a point guard, I mean, you're the leader of the offense. And a lot of times the pace, you're controlling the pace, you're controlling the tempo. And when you get out of sorts with that, then a lot of that it caused a lot of the other guys on the team too as well. I mean, Khalil Ware had four turnovers. We talked about Trey Galloway had three, and then Malik Renew had four himself. It's a lot of the starting lineup. Only three turnovers came off the bench, and I know your bench productions, or you're going to get a lot best bench minutes just in general. But the starting lineup was sloppy with the ball, and One of the biggest changes is you bring Xavier Johnson in for Gabe Cupps. We talk about Gabe Cupps. He's not that much of a scorer. Sometimes it can be tough for Indiana to score when they only have four scoring threats on the floor. But he did not turn the ball over a ton. He controlled the offense very well, ran the offense very well. And you bring an injured Xavier Johnson in. And like you said, I'm not going to sit here and say they're better without Xavier Johnson at all. But a hurt Xavier Johnson and not 100% Xavier Johnson, that's where the question mark lies. I want to stick on the 3-point fact that you were talking about. And we had talked about this a lot on this podcast, and there really weren't a whole lot of real life examples until the Nebraska game to prove it. It's going to be hard for Indiana to claw back into games when they can't shoot the three either. Just as well as it's going to be hard for them to run away with leads. And I think we finally saw it with the Nebraska game. I mean, they had some pretty good offensive possessions. They got some good shots down low. But at the end of the day, it's just 2 points.
Yeah, it's just the way Indiana's offense has been run is not the recipe for success in the Big Ten, especially on the road, and especially the way they played so poorly in that first half. They're only down by 8 points. They played a terrible first half, turned the ball over way too much of all the turnovers they had. Nine of them were in the first half, and Johnson, all four of them came in the first 20 minutes. And the fact that Indiana was only down eight was kind of a miracle, if we're being honest. They just did not play well at all, and they had no reason of even being in that game, but they're only down eight. And in the second half, they couldn't really muster up a big run, and that's because of the three ball. And Khalil Ware, 12 first half points, he was great, but they really tired him pretty quickly. They wore him down, and knowing he's probably not 100% either, but you can't afford to have him out, even if he's playing at 75, 80%. Johnson, I think it's a different story, but just the way this offense has been run and the whole taking twos versus threes, eventually it's going to catch up to you. And this team's certainly not talented enough. The bench, there's not a lot there. Walker had 8 points, but other than that, I mean, just the threes, they made 50% of their threes, Ben. They didn't take enough in the first half. They made plenty in the second half. At one point, I think they were 6 for 7, but they just don't take enough when you're down by that much. Fine, if you're going to throw up a bad three, you kind of have to when you play that poorly in a first half. You're playing from behind, and Indiana was playing like it was a tie ball game, it felt like, and taking, a really good shot, or it was a close game, trying to just go possession for possession. You can't do that against this Nebraska team, especially if Tominaga gets hot the way he did. I know his parents were in attendance as well, but which is obviously a great story. Tominaga, I feel like, is like the most loved Big Ten player, even maybe even college basketball player around. But the recipe is just not good enough. And when you play as poorly as you did in the first half, you're never winning that game. I'm sorry, even if it's by 8 to Nebraska, you're just not coming back, and things need to change offensively.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Well, let's talk about the resume for Indiana right now. I know when the net rankings first come out, it's like, oh, it's way too early to look at them and to really take it into account. But now you're starting to get into Big Ten play. It's starting to get a little concerning. The net drops from 102, I believe it was, before the game yesterday. It's now sitting about 108. And the glaring issue when you're looking at the overall resume for Indiana is just one quad one or quad two win so far.
Yeah, what was that? Is that Michigan? Is that the only?
It is a quad one win. So they got the 1-4 quad one. Haven't played a quad two game yet. 0-0, 3-0 in quad three, 6-0 in quad four. Now both of those numbers look good, especially with the change in college basketball and change in talent level and how much we are seeing some teams lose some bye games. So you're 9-0 in those types of games, but still the only one quad one or two win.
Obviously, and all this can change as well. Michigan's kind of right around 500, so that could drop to quad two pretty quickly, considering what Michigan might face in their Big Ten slate this year. But it's just the resume is concerning. It's kind of the same as it was 2 years ago, Ben. I think I've said this before. This team reminds me a lot of the one we saw 2 years ago. Non-conference schedule, not all that great, not all that enticing, and the chances Indiana got to win games, they couldn't do so. And that Kansas loss, I think, really set this team back. We saw that by the way they played in the next game against Morehead State. But now I think the path for Indiana, they really need to show out here in the Big Ten. I don't think they can afford to lose a single home game, Ben, honestly, in Big Ten play. I know they already lost to Kansas at home, but I don't think this team can afford to even lose one, considering if they play like this on the road, there are not going to be many wins you can get. I know, you know, they go to Minnesota this year. That should be a win, but this Nebraska game you would have probably circled in as a win. I will say, we can pat ourselves on the back. We both said at the beginning of the year, Indiana would lose this game to Nebraska based on previous years, based on the way we thought Nebraska would improve. So it's not surprising that they lost this game. I thought that after they beat Michigan, maybe they would beat Nebraska as well, but you're more than happy to take one and lose the other. But just the way they lost the game is so concerning. Just the blowouts. I saw something this morning that Indiana, I think, has lost 18 times. That might be the number, by 15 plus points under Mike Woodson. That's just not good enough. The number of games they've won by 15 plus, it's nowhere close to that metric. So it's just the way they lose is so concerning. And this team really needs to probably win 13 games, like 12, 13 in the Big Ten if they want a shot at the tournament right now, because when the next bracket comes out, Indiana might not be the automatic qualifier. Indiana will not be in the 68 at the moment. So it's concerning.
It's funny to bring up the Michigan and how that might drop to a quad two. In Michigan is sitting at 74 in the net right now, and top 75 is the cutoff for a quad one win on the road. And yeah, Michigan's season is trajecting downwards. You had that loss, back-to-back losses to Florida and McNeese. Not great there. You're in the Big Ten, though, and although it's a down year in the Big Ten, it's still the Big Ten. You still have a lot of opportunities. Seven quad one games left, seven quad two games left, and the rest, or the other three, are quad three. And just the way with how the net works, if you can find the spark on the road, Indiana doesn't have a ton of those. You know, a lot of Indiana's road quad one games are top 35 or so. There's not a whole lot of, like Michigan, where it's down towards 70 or 75 and games you feel like you can win. Here are the remaining road quad one games for Indiana. You go to number three, Purdue, number 19, Wisconsin, number seven, Illinois, number 38, Ohio State, number 28, Michigan State. Those are the remaining road quad one games. It's hard to find a win in any of those games. You maybe have to steal one from Ohio State or Michigan State. With no marquee road wins for Indiana, that's what could be a glaring issue come March.
That kind of almost was the issue a few years ago when Indiana got lucky to get into the tournament. They didn't have they played one, I think it was one true road game. That was against Syracuse in the ACC Challenge, and they dropped that one in double overtime after they played, again, a terrible first half on the road. This is a very disturbing trend that we're bringing up again under Mike Woodson. But these games on the road, Purdue, sure, you know, Hood Schifino saved them last year and got them a win. I don't see that happening this year. Illinois is a really scary team. They're for real, even without Terrence Shannon Jr. and that whole situation, which is, I guess, being sorted out in the legal system. And then Wisconsin, the Kohl Center has been the house of nightmares for Indiana since really the turn of the century. So it's just, there are not many chances. And Ohio State is a team that we'll see on Saturday. They're a much improved team. They're probably maybe a top four team in the Big Ten when the year ends. But I mean, it depends on what happens on Saturday. But right now, I don't have much hope for Indiana to win at the Value City Arena, a place that really the fans the fan base there isn't fantastic for basketball. Maybe they'll be better considering the way the football team is going right now for the Buckeyes. But just these arenas where it's not even packed, Indiana just sometimes doesn't play to that energy level that there is in the building. But and I don't think Indiana even gets Michigan State on the road. They just get them once, I think, and it's at home. I think it's the last game of the regular season. So I don't think Indiana even has to go to the Breslin Center.
Yeah, I misread that.
So that's
No, yeah,
one.
no Michigan State on the road. So it's just at Purdue, at Ohio State, at Illinois, at Wisconsin are the road quad one games left.
You need one of those wins,
Yeah.
100%. You cannot afford to lose all four of those games and expect to make the tournament. And that's assuming that they don't lose a single home game, which not that the way this team is showing me, it's gonna be one game they just come out flat, or even against Purdue they could play a great game and still lose. We saw that against the top five Kansas team. So you need at least one, and in all likelihood, you need more quad one, quad two road wins than you have home losses, period. And you already have one home loss this year. So I think that's the way Indiana has to look at this. But I mean, what was it, 2 years ago, Indiana lost, I think, four home games and only won three true road games in Big Ten play. So that barely got them in. But this year you have to get more wins than losses.
And it's tough too, because if I'm reading this correctly, Indiana's Big Ten net ranking is currently third worst. The only teams that are worse are Penn State at 124 and Maryland at 121. Maryland, another team, is just struggling. It didn't look great against Purdue. I know they made it somewhat competitive at the end, but if you've seen them play in the last few weeks or so, there's not much promise over there in College Park. I think a lot of it's going to come down to the Big Ten tournament. You get those extra resume boosters that you don't really take into account at this point in the season because you sit because you don't. It's not actually on the schedule, but you'll get a quad one, a quad two opportunity there. And Indiana is a team that last year made the Big Ten semifinals, but before then hasn't played too well in the Big Ten tournament.
Yeah, I hate to look this far and kind of just, I don't want to wave the white flag and say Indiana has to do well in the Big Ten tournament to make the NCAA tournament. That was the case 2 years ago, where everything was riding on those first two games, and Indiana skated away victorious in both. But at this point, it's like, well, if this performance and the way Indiana has played really this entire year, we can look at the Nebraska game, we can single out a few games, but just the way overall they just haven't been able to play to their level yet. I don't see a way Indiana can feel confident going into the Big Ten tournament. So I'm not saying they have to win the Big Ten tournament. I'm not saying it's all or nothing. You don't have to put all the eggs in one basket quite yet and get ready for March in Minneapolis. But at this rate, Indiana needs to figure things out soon. I will say, last year in January, Indiana started the year with three terrible losses. They lost to Iowa on the road after that 2 week break. They had a huge lead at halftime. They led by 21 at one point. They collapsed in that second half, lost that game. They come back, they lose to Northwestern at home, which was a bad loss at the time. Northwestern, obviously, we didn't know how good they were going to be. Then they got blown out at Penn State. The sky was falling. Trace wasn't healthy. They were without Xavier Johnson. And clearly, defensively, they really struggled without him in those three games. I want to say they gave up 80 in all three of those losses. And then they turned it around and won five straight. So I'm not going to sit here and just complain and look at one game. It's just one game. It's a trend we've seen. Indiana does not ever start Big Ten play when it starts up in January on the right foot. That's obviously not a great thing, but I'm not going to sit here and say the season is over, Mike Woodson should be fired, et cetera, et cetera. But there are kind of trends we've seen that do need to change, and I think they need to change quickly because Ohio State is a very good team come Saturday.
All right, let's transition a little bit into the Big Ten as a whole right now. I'm only looking at this because it's what I was already looking at. If you look at the net cutoff for who would make the tournament, if it was just based on net, now of course it isn't. Big Ten only has five teams in. You got Wisconsin, they have it about a five seed. Michigan State, they have it a seven seed. Purdue at a one seed, of course. Illinois at a two seed. And I don't know if I could find the fifth Big Ten team, but like we said, down year for the Big Ten right now, and it really looks like Purdue and then everybody else.
Sort of. Yeah, I think that's the case. Illinois looks really good. I will say that they're definitely that second team right now. That Purdue Illinois game on Friday is going to be awesome to watch. Two top 10 teams, and we can really see how close Illinois can really be to Purdue, even without Terrence Shannon Jr. But other than that, it's Purdue as one, Illinois as a two, and everyone else in the Big Ten is just kind of scrambled in to that one spot. I think Ohio State and Wisconsin probably right now are the two next best teams. Nebraska is probably going to get some votes if they didn't already in next week's top 25. And Ohio State, I know, won before Indiana played. They skated by Rutgers. But other than that, the teams maybe you expected to be decent this year. The Scarlet Knights don't look great. Maryland, a team that was picked fourth in the Big Ten, which is kind of laughable. They stink, and that's a road game. Indiana is really going to have to win early on in March before the Big Ten tournament. I think Indiana gets Minnesota and Maryland before Michigan State, so three M's before you head to Minneapolis. So those are going to be some key games at the end of the year when we're talking about road resume wins. But other than that, I don't know necessarily right now what to expect from the Big Ten. I don't think they get more than five teams in. I think I said that at the beginning of the year, and five kind of seems like the right number. And right now, Indiana is not one of those five. So that kind of puts things into perspective as to what the Hoosiers need to do. And considering, the lack of quad one available wins, and to be fair, you get a lot of these games on the road, and that's the best way to prove to the committee that you deserve to be in the tournament is by winning true road games. And Indiana did well last year doing that, but I think the way, I mean, you get Purdue, Wisconsin, Illinois, it's like all boom, three in a row. That's scary, considering just the momentum you might not have going into any of those games. And just a long losing streak could kind of be in the cards if Indiana doesn't figure things out quickly. But after losing last night's game, I think you have to beat Rutgers. You have to win every home game. So Minnesota, Ohio State, Rutgers, you probably have to win all three of those games and give yourself a shot when most likely number one Purdue comes to town next Tuesday, the 16th.
I think we should revisit a little bit our tier list, or maybe refine them that we did at the beginning of the year with the Big Ten when we did our Big Ten preview. I'll start by saying this: the re I probably would not say it's Purdue and everybody else if it weren't for the Terrence Shannon injury. I really don't trust Illinois with Terrence Shannon, or not injury, sorry, with the situation. But I really don't trust Illinois without Terrence Shannon right now. I think he's just too big of a piece, averaging over 20 points a game. I think honestly, without Terrence Shannon, I don't know if Illinois is the second best team in the Big Ten. With you could possibly throw Wisconsin up there, but for that, like I'm putting Purdue in my top tier, and then I'm throwing Illinois back with Wisconsin, Ohio State.
Yeah, that's fair. I know it's easy to overreact after one game. Marcus Domask looked great, kind of filling in for the shoes of Terrence Shannon. I just don't think Northwestern's that great. I think just their opponent, the way they played, I don't think Northwestern is as good as they were last year. I know they picked up, I think, Langbourne, that big transfer that they got after losing Chase Audige. But, this is a Northwestern team that beat Purdue, and then the next game you lose to Chicago State at home. I just don't think Northwestern is going to be anywhere near as good as they were last year. So I think it's more kind of the opponent that Illinois played and just the way they beat them. Sure, it was impressive, and you have to do that in the home games, especially as a big favorite like they were in a rivalry game as well. But it's fair to put, I think, Illinois is kind of the best of the rest right now in kind of that tier two. I'm perfectly fine leaving Purdue in its own category.
Yeah, I think, like you said, people are going to overreact a little bit to a one game, and then people are going to overreact to just the fact that they have that, top 10 ranking by their name. They still haven't lost without Terrence Shannon because they haven't really played anybody great yet. So, like I said, I put Illinois along with Wisconsin, Ohio State in my tier two. It's tough if I want to throw Michigan State in there. They have looked a lot better as of late. Their three-point shooting's gotten a lot better. Their guard play has gotten a lot better. I still don't think I trust them yet, but it's also hard to count out Tom Izzo. I'm going to throw him in a tier below, still 0-2 in Big Ten play. They're going to have to prove a little more to me. Obviously, they ran Baylor off the floor a couple weeks ago, but I'm going to need to see some confidence at Big Ten play for Michigan State. So I'm going to throw them down below. I think that goes along with Nebraska a little bit. These are the teams that should make the tournament, and I don't know if I see any that aren't Purdue, Illinois, Wisconsin, Ohio State to go in that tier with Nebraska and Michigan State.
Yeah, that's fair to say. I don't think Nebraska's quite there yet. This is a Nebraska team that beat a Michigan State team that was reeling. They also lost by double digits, I think, to Minnesota. So I don't know if that, makes the Indiana loss worse the one we saw Wednesday night, but I don't know, kind of Nebraska's still not quite there yet. They got blown out by Creighton on their home floor in what was their biggest game of the season at that point. So I'm not quite ready to put Nebraska there, but yeah, that's fair. I think Michigan State can kind of sneak into that tier two, or maybe just be on the outside, but they're definitely still a top half Big Ten team.
Yeah, I like Nebraska's resume so far. They have a couple of quad one and quad two wins. Now it's still the same kind of area as Indiana, where they need to pick up some more marquee wins, and I get that. But we talked about the net this year, how everything's going with the net, and how much the net is used, and how much margin of victory plays into kind of that, and that we never saw that before with the RPI, with other metrics, but the net does take into account margin of victory, and that's something Nebraska hasn't struggled as much with as Indiana did. I mean, one of the really good wins for Nebraska, they went to Kansas State and won by 16 points. This Nebraska team is, they talked about on the broadcast a lot against Indiana. It's a team that last year and years prior, in a Fred Hoiberg team, always felt like they needed to outscore teams. They were in 90 to 80 track races. This Nebraska team is playing some really good defense. I mean, you look at some defensive numbers so far. Their last few games, last five games, haven't allowed anyone over 76 points. And that was only one team. The second most they gave up was to Indiana at 70 points. So it's a Nebraska team that's a lot different than past Nebraska teams that we've seen. And I think they can get some key road wins down the road. Next tier is kind of hard to decipher all the non-tournament teams of the Big Ten right now. I mean, you have teams like Northwestern who had that win over Purdue, but then has totally laid an egg after that. You have the Indiana, a team like Indiana that we talked about. I think it's easy to bunch all of them and then kind of just put Minnesota, Penn State, and Maryland all at the bottom.
Yeah, that's fair. I maybe even put Michigan at the bottom as well. Honestly, the way they've played, I just the amount of talent they lost and the whole situation with coaching there worries me. But yeah, Northwestern, Indiana, I'd put in the same spot. You could, I don't know, Rutgers and Iowa right now, 0-2, 0-3, respectively in the Big Ten. But I certainly think those teams will at least get 6 to 7 Big Ten wins. But yeah, I think it's easy to put Maryland, Minnesota at the bottom, and throw Penn State. So yeah, I think that's fair. You could put Iowa, Rutgers at the bottom of the tier. You have Indiana in with Northwestern, and maybe I'd probably put Michigan in the bottom one as well. So it's just kind of those, what, seven teams you kind of just throw into two different tiers that have Indiana and Northwestern. If you don't have Michigan State in that tier, then you have Indiana, Northwestern at the top of that. You sneak in Rutgers and Iowa, and then kind of throw the other four teams at the bottom and say, hey, prove to me something before you can move up a tier.
Yeah, I think some of those teams right now, I think home court advantage it's gonna play a factor in a lot of these games. And it's felt like in years past, there has been less of a gap between the top team and the bottom team. You have teams like Minnesota and Nebraska in the past, but a team like Penn State right now is really struggling. And a team like Maryland, it feels like we haven't had teams as bad as those two in the last few years in the Big Ten. So it makes it like you have those easier wins than normal. But once again, the resume is not going to be as great when you fill them with Indiana has a couple of games against Penn State and a couple of games against Minnesota.
Yeah, I think one advantage is potentially is that you're able to play these teams on the road and be able to play them twice. And I think that's one of the biggest things that we saw this 2 years ago. This was obviously the schedule, more or less the same in terms of teams you're playing twice. And Indiana was able to get three wins against the three worst teams in the Big Ten. And looking at on the road, Rutgers is going to be in the bottom half for sure. Maryland, when March comes around, same with Minnesota. So those three games feels like you have to win. Indiana, I think, goes to Penn State. That's one you have to win as well. Penn State has looked terrible this year. And first year head coach in Mike Rhodes, they have not lived up to any of the expectations they may or may not have had. The Michigan win's going to prove to be big, I think, going down the stretch. It's already good to have one true road win, and then you have to steal one against one of those teams above you right now in the Big Ten standings on the road. So I think it's as easy as that. You have to win more of the games in those quad one road games than you lose at home the entire season. I think that's just the easiest way for Indiana to give themselves a shot at proving the committee that before the Big Ten tournament, their name should sneak in there as probably an 11-12 seed. Hey, maybe Dayton is on the horizon again.
It's funny because we did our Big Ten tier ranking. You know, I was when I was planning the episode, I had in mind, all right, let's repick our conference winner and our conference player of the year. But I don't think that's very, there's going to be very different answers in that right now, and how clear the Big Ten has been with Purdue's dominance and Zach Edey's dominance. I guess give you a chance. You want to refine your record prediction for Indiana, or are you sticking with it?
What we said 10 and 10, I think, both at the start of the
Yeah.
season. Man, I want to have confidence this team can turn it around. I just don't think the depth is there. I don't think the guard play is going to be there this year. Trey Galloway, just he'll have one good game against Kansas, and then the next game, sure, he'll rebound, got a couple of tough rebounds, but other than that, he hasn't improved much. Xavier Johnson's health, I think, is the biggest concern. Even at 100%, we've seen Xavier Johnson, he just has these silly turnovers, which on the road you cannot afford to. I'll stick with 10. You know, I'll give them one more. I'll say 11-9. They're already 2-1. They're already over 500 right now, and they have this favorable stretch where it feels like they have to go 2-1 before Purdue comes to town. So I'll say 11-9, but that will not be good enough by the time the Big Ten tournament rolls around for them to get into the tournament. But 11-9 feels like the opposite 2 years ago, 9-11. You kind of switch the wins and the losses around, and that's where Indiana ends up.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna go with 10-10. I think I'm just gonna stick with that right now. It's an Indiana team. I don't really see them turning anything too drastic around, even with Xavier Johnson coming back, even with we talked about the 3-point shooting had to get better. It has gotten somewhat better. The quantity's not there though, so I don't think it's gonna make too much of an impact right now. And I think with the 10-10, unless they make the Big Ten championship, I don't think that gets them into the NCAA tournament. Now, to make the Big Ten championship, you said we don't want to look too this far ahead. But to make the Big Ten championship, there might be enough resume boosting wins within the Big Ten tournament. Right now, I don't see them making the tournament. I probably see six. I'll stick with seven. I see seven Big Ten teams getting into the tournament. But unless you have anything else, that's all we have for this week's edition of House of Hoosier podcast, the Nebraska reaction in the Big Ten tier list. We'll see how long those show up. But thanks for tuning in to Austin Platt and I on this week's version of House of Hoosier.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.